Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Notice in verse 13, Paul talks about the evil day. I mentioned this the other day on the phone tree, and I was thinking about the evil day that we're in now. I was praying the other day, and I was thinking about the church and all that's going on. And I just said, Lord, I just don't even know how to pray. Don't know what to pray for. There's so much going on, so many people that are sick, so many problems. The devil's attacking in so many different ways. I honestly don't even know how to pray. And then I thought about how that I could surely thank the Lord for being so good to us. He sure has been good no matter what. And no matter what we're facing, we can always thank him. But sometimes you just don't know what to ask for. It seemed like the first thing that I thought about was the fact of asking for protection, asking the Lord to protect us from harm, to keep us from trouble, to keep us from anyone more, anybody else getting sick. I thought about protecting us, and I asked the Lord for protection. But then I thought about there's got to be more to it than that, because we aren't protected from all things. There are times when things get through. There's times when things get to us. There's times when sickness does come and trials do come. So I thought about, Lord, give us grace. Give us the grace that we need to endure what we're going through. I'm glad that I can realize that God is involved with every part of our lives. Even the mess that we're in now, even those troubles and trials, those burdens that you're facing right now, whatever it is, the Lord's involved with it. And I'm glad that we can ask him to give us grace. I'm convinced he's trying to teach us. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to bring us to a higher level of victory than we've ever been in before. Unfortunately, we've been defeated in certain areas, some of us for years. And we just seem like we cannot somehow get the victory over these areas. A friend, I believe the Lord wants to give us victory. We live so defeated, and I'm sure the Lord wants more for us. One thing for sure, if the Lord Jesus Christ died to provide only what we're experiencing, he got a bad deal. I don't mean to cheapen the cross or anything that he did for us by saying that, but friend, there's got to be more to the Christian life than what we're experiencing. There's got to be more victory than what we've enjoyed. There's got to be more power than what we've experienced. There's got to be more joy and peace. The Bible talks about those things, love and joy and peace and contentment, and all those things are for the Christian. And friend, I'm so afraid that we're not experiencing it. When I think about the evil day, I think first about a day of trouble. If you notice in verse 11, he talks about being able to stand. Being able to stand. When you think about standing, you think about opposition. You think about an enemy. You think about a war. You think about an attack. And friend, that's exactly what we're in. The evil day is a day of trouble. There's no doubt there's trouble everywhere. We're all going through trials. And the days that we're going through now perhaps are the worst that we've ever gone through before. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, don't think it strange when you're going through a fiery trial, as though it's something strange or unusual. Friend, we may be saved, and I hope that you are, but that does not mean we're exempt from the fiery trials that come with this world and this life. We are in an evil day, and that day is a day of trouble, and it's not something that's unusual. Romans 8:17 says, "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." That we suffer with him. Friend, Jesus suffered in this world. If he suffered, his disciples are going to suffer. If he suffered, his people are going to suffer. We will go through trouble. We will go through trial. We should not be shocked that we have to go through what everybody else does. We are not exempt from coronavirus. We're not exempt from problems. We're not exempt from poverty. We're not exempt from the troubles and trials that anyone else in this world has to go through. So we need to realize, yes, this is an evil day, and it is a day of trouble. 1 Peter 4:13 says, But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He says, how are we supposed to handle our troubles and trials now? How are we supposed to go through the suffering that we're going through? He says we're to rejoice. First, because we're partakers of Christ's suffering. We're being identified with our Lord. He suffered, we'll suffer. He suffered, his disciples suffer. We're going to suffer. We're going to have troubles and trials. But he says we're to rejoice. And the reason is, one reason is because one day we'll have exceeding joy. If we're faithful now, we'll be glad then. If we stand true now, we'll be glad that we did when we stand before him. I want to say without any shadow of a doubt, we're in an evil day. And that day is a day of trouble. And all are being attacked. Everyone is being attacked. And some are attacked severely. Some are hurting severely. Many are hurting, but some are terribly. Many are being attacked like never before. And friend, the problem is so many of us are being defeated. In some degree, some way or other, we're being defeated. And friend, that's just unfortunate. It's unnecessary. We need to realize we do not need to be defeated. It is not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel. And I'm afraid so many are right on the edge, right on the verge, and even leaning over the edge about quitting. Thinking about throwing in the towel. Friend, it's not time to quit. I know it's a day of trouble. I know it's an evil day, but you still can stand with the Lord and with his help. Friend, it's time to take action. If we don't take action immediately, we're going to be defeated. We cannot continue as we are. We must take a stand now. That's what he said, being able to stand. This evil day is a day of trouble. But I believe this evil day also is a day of temptation. And notice in what it says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice how many times he says the word against. But notice what he says, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness. That talks about the devil. That talks about our enemy. Friend, there's no doubt we're in an evil day. It's a day of trouble, but it's also a day of temptation. There's someone else involved with what we're going through than just us and the Lord. The devil's involved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." It's common. It's ordinary. It's to be expected. We shouldn't be surprised or shocked when we go through troubles but also through temptation. You see, there's more than just sickness involved with what we're facing. There's more involved than something physical. The devil is very much involved with what we're facing. He wants to make it a day of temptation. He wants to make us fall. He wants to make us quit. And we need to see that like never before. Someone needs to listen to this preacher when he says the devil's after you. He's after our church and every church in our world. But he's after you. He's after you. He's after you. And you need to see that. Don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let him pull the wool over your eyes. Don't think that everything's all right. Don't miss the fact that the devil also is involved with what you're facing. If we don't see that, we're as good as gone. If we don't see that the devil's fighting us, and we'll win if we let him, we have already lost the battle. Don't think about someone else while you're hearing this message. It may apply to someone else you know, but friend, it applies to you. I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. The devil wants to do us harm. The devil wants to harm you, wreck you, ruin your testimony. He wants to conquer you. He wants to break your spirit like he did Peter. Peter realized too late that he was flesh. He thought he was going to stand, but he failed. And friend, I'm telling us, we'd better listen. We're about to lose. Some of us are about to lose. Friend, the devil is stronger than us. We cannot overcome him in our own power. And he will defeat us if we don't get our eyes open. More than ever, we need to stand against the devil and stand for the Lord. One day, we may realize it too late and regret the fact that we failed. Friend, don't quit God now. Don't miss what the devil's doing. He wants to ruin you. We need to realize he's attacking. There's more involved than just a person with that problem you're going through. There's more involved than just a problem. There's more involved than just a predicament. Friend, there's an enemy. He's called the devil. We're going through an evil day. It's a day of trouble. It's a day of temptation. But it's also a day of testing. You can't help but read through these verses and realize God is involved with what these verses say. What we're facing, what you're facing, is not an accident. I ask you this question. Why did God allow what's going on in your life to come? There's a lot of answers to that question, but one is because he's testing us. He wants to prove us, to test us. He wants to show me, me. He wants to show you, you. The psalm said in Psalm 66, verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." O God hast proved us. He's putting us to the test. And he says it's like silver that's being tried. Silver is something that's precious. Silver is something that's beautiful. If you don't do anything to it, it's valuable and it's beautiful. But friend, silver has a lot of impurities. And the only way that silver can be tried and can be improved and become more beautiful and more valuable is to be put through the fire, through the crucible. When you look at that silver to begin with, you may not notice the fact that there's impurities because it is beautiful and it is valuable. But friend, when it goes through the crucible, when it goes through the heat and that impurity, those impurities inside are boiled away and skimmed off and removed, the silver is so much more beautiful. The silver is so much more valuable. And that tested it was the fire, the heat, the boiling. And that's why God sends us through trials, to test us. Like that silver being tried, that silver being boiled, to boil away the impurities. God is trying to boil away those things in our lives that he's not pleased with. Psalm 17, verse 3 says, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast proved, tested, tried my heart, not just what I do outwardly, but my heart, my inside, my real me, the part of me that people don't see. To be honest, we must realize, we have to be honest. As long as things are going smooth in our life, we usually just sort of coast along. We don't pray a lot. We don't read the Bible a lot. We come to church and don't really put our heart into it. We just sort of coast along spiritually. But when trials and testing and trouble comes, friend, that's when we pray more, read more, come to church more intent. Friend, so many times we force God to take drastic measures in our lives. I'm talking about an evil day. I'm talking about the fact that it is a day of trouble. And it is a day of temptation. But it's also a day of testing. God has sent or allowed what we're facing to test us, to show us what we really are. I'm glad that this evil day is a day of testing and of temptation and trouble, but thank the Lord it's also a day of triumph. I am so glad there's victory. Verse 13 says, able to withstand. And friend, that goes back to my prayer in the woods many days ago, when I was praying for this church, when I was praying for you, and all that we're facing, all we were facing then, and what we've faced in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Friend, we need to realize it's time to stand, not just to complain and gripe, even though it's certainly hard not to, but to stand, to trust God's grace, and to keep on walking with God. He says, able to withstand. It's a day of triumph. I'm glad we can have victory. We can experience that God can give us. It says able. It literally means able. God makes us able because His strength works through us. Not us, not our ability, but His. But then He says, able to withstand, to not fall, to not give in, to not be affected. It talks about experiencing something that we could not experience any other way. Friend, I'm tired of us just talking about how it used to be. Now I'm thankful for my memories. I'm thankful for the days when I look back and see God moving in such a real and a marvelous and magnificent way. I'm glad I have those memories. But friend, there's more to God than just what He used to be. There's more to what God wants to do than what He used to do. He is still the God of today. The God who did can. The God who used to is still able. Friend, we need to realize there is victory in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be overcome. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to live in misery. Just imagine what God could do if we would let Him. Now, I'll be honest. I'm competitive. I do not like to lose, no matter what. Doesn't matter what, I do not like to lose. And you know what? Neither does God. God does not want us to lose. He wants us to win this battle. He wants us to be victorious. And friend, we do not have to lose. We do not have to be overcome. God made a way for us to have victory. That's what He's talking about in Ephesians 6, especially later on when He talks about putting on the whole armor of God. We may touch on that in the days ahead. 2 Thessalonians 1:4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, I am amazed at your patience and your faith that you keep on exhibiting in the midst of your persecutions and tribulations. He said, I am amazed that you have trusted God like you have, and have demonstrated patience and faith in the midst of persecutions and tribulations. And he ends that verse by saying that ye endure. You haven't been overcome. You have stood the test and been successful. I thank the Lord for that. But friend, I want that for us. 1 Thessalonians 3:3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. That no man may be or should be moved by these afflictions. He says, stand during the time of affliction and don't be moved. Don't be affected. Don't let it stop you from serving God and loving Him. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. We labor, in other words, we keep serving God, and we suffer reproach in the midst of trials. And he said, because we trust in the living God. There's the answer, trusting God. We can trust God. His grace is more than sufficient no matter what we're going through. He will not forsake us when we need him the most. Joseph of the Old Testament found that out. Joseph found out his grace, God's grace, was enough and was sufficient. Genesis 39:21 said, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph had been wrongly accused and wrongly imprisoned, but God gave him grace. Grace to stand and grace to get through and grace for victory. That same God is our God. Moses found out that God's grace was sufficient. Exodus 14:13, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Moses found out God's grace is sufficient. There is victory in the place of battle. And Moses said to those people, don't be afraid, stand still, and watch God move. And God not only had brought them out of Egypt, but he was about to bring them across the Red Sea. Friend, I want to tell you, God still parts Red Seas. He still does the miraculous. Joshua found out that God's grace was sufficient. Joshua 1:5 said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God told Joshua, like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. And I want to tell you something. The God of Moses and the God of Joshua is the God of Rick and the God of Bill and George and Susie. I want to thank the Lord for his grace. David found out that God's grace was sufficient. 1 Samuel 17:37, David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. David said, the same God who took care of me when the bear came and the lion came is the God that's going to take care of me when the Philistine comes. I'm glad God's grace is sufficient. The three Hebrew boys found out that God's grace was sufficient. When they stayed in the fiery furnace, the king said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm glad there was a fourth man in the fire. And I want to tell you something, the fire you're going through, you're not alone. There's another man in there with you. He's called Jesus. I'm glad that Paul found out that God's grace was sufficient. Many times in the Bible we could talk about that, but in Acts 27:25, Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God. The God that Paul can believe and did believe in is the same God you have. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The psalmist said, the Lord of hosts is with us. the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think about that. God is our refuge that we can run to. Acts 18:10 says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee hurt to thee." Friend, I want to tell you, God is God, and He's taking care of us. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the whole armor. That armor is needed every day. We don't have time to touch on that today, maybe later on. But I want to tell you something. We need God's armor. We need His protection. We need the Word of God and faith and all the things that are mentioned in these verses, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He uses many different methods trying to defeat us. But friend, there is victory. There is help. None of it will work if we'll stand for the Lord. It says there that you may be able to stand. The word stand means in place. In place. Stand in place. It means to continue. It means to hold up. It means not to sway or to wander, to leave or to slack off. It means to stand. And it says to stand against. The word against means in front of. In other words, no wavering. In other words, he says we can and we should stand when the devil's fighting. When the evil day comes, we keep standing. It doesn't affect us. It doesn't make us wonder. It doesn't make us fearful. It doesn't make us run. It doesn't make us stop. It doesn't defeat us. Friend, it is an evil day. I know it is. It's tough. It's difficult. But we do have God's grace. We do have His power. We do have His armor. We do have His word. We do have prayer. We do have a church. We have Christian friends. We have the Holy Spirit. Friend, lean heavily on Him. If you're not saved today, will you right there where you're sitting, call on the Lord and ask Him to save you and to forgive you? If you're saved, will you please say, "Lord, give me grace. I don't want to fail. I don't want to stumble through life. I want to trust Your grace. I want to be all You want me to be. Make me, mold me, shape me, use me for Your glory." In Jesus' name, amen.